There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. You're a big part of the show. Here's how you get through. 343-0106. 343-0106. That's our phone number. That's the text line. But also, I'd love to see you live and in person as we're doing Midday Mobile today from the Mobile Boat Show, day one. Actually, doors just opened down here at the convention center, and folks are starting to come on in 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Sunday of the Mobile Boat Show. Now, there's tons of stuff to see. Obviously, a sea of fiberglass in the main showroom, but also outside. Some of the boats so big, they can't even get them through the giant doors in here to the convention center. They're outside in front of the convention center on Water Street. But you come inside, you're going to see vendors too. Not only are you looking at the boats, but everything on your boat. Maybe a new boat is what you're looking for. Maybe you're looking to upgrade electronics or engines or trailers or maybe some accessories for your boat. They've got those as well. And what I love too is there's a lot to do here beyond just looking at the boats and accessories, especially for the kids. Now, where we're set up for FM Talk 106.5, same place we've been for the last 3 years, if you've seen us before. We're across from the Alabama Marine Resources Touch Tank Room. And I saw them bringing the critters in yesterday. They had a big trailer system, like a mobile aquarium almost, and they're bringing all these, some fish, some stingrays, some other sea creatures from the northern Gulf Coast, and they have them in these big tanks here so the kids can come by, not only learn about the marine creatures, they can touch them. They can, and it's really neat. You have people here from Alabama Marine Resources to help tell them, you know, what's that? What's that critter? What does it do? All that kind of stuff. A really cool event. Also upstairs, as before, and I say upstairs, you know how you come in at the convention center and then you go down the escalator. So upstairs in that part, that is where the trout pond is. So the kids are welcome to come through there and do some fish catching. That'll go on all 3 days. In addition to that, you've got kids activities like the fetch and fish. I would even say the fetch and fish dog show is for all of us, even though the kids get a big kick out of it. And that goes on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. We'll lay out the schedule an itinerary throughout the show, and also you can see it online. You go to their website or link through from our social media pages or website, get more information there. So yeah, this is 3 days. They've opened up today, and we're here like in years before with a guide's corner through FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, which is the show that Mike Ward and I host on Saturdays. And we have the best guides from the saltwater, freshwater world, from inshore, offshore. Also people from the hunting world, kayaking world. These captains and guides are going to be here for you today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And they will be here, and they will be answering your questions. So you stop on by. We'll talk more about the schedule, who's going to be here when. But you can stop by and sit down and just visit with some of the best fishermen in our area. It's real nice, too. So if you have heard fishing or something on the Outdoor Show or Captain Bobby before, talk about how they're rigging up a certain kind of popping cork rig or a certain kind of rig they're using for catching sheephead or whatever it would be, they'll tie it for you right here, show you that. You want to get some kind of one-on-one information about how to do better finding those fish, they'll do that as well. Listen, there's a whole bunch of information that we're going to pass along, and it's happening from today through Sunday with our Guides Corner. So while we're live here till 2 today, and tomorrow Mike Ward and I will have a special 2-hour on-location FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors that runs from 10 to noon in the same place where the midday replay usually plays on Saturday. So we'll be doing a live show from down here tomorrow, but we'll be here the whole time. So make sure to stop stop by, see us as you come into the Mobile Boat Show. You come down the escalators, and when you make the big left turn to head to the main room, the big room here at the Convention Center, you'll see our booth on the right, right across from Alabama Marine Resources and the Touch Tank. All right, so coming up on the show today, a couple things. Hour number two, we've got a lot to do. We'll talk to Ben Raines is going to join us. Do you see the story the other day from Ben? They have found a 1,000-year-old canal in South Baldwin County, said that early residents, Native Americans, used to do a little shortcut around Fort Morgan. Now, these days, you don't have that issue, right? You can just power up one of these boats and make the run around. But back then, in the old dugout canoe, it probably was beneficial to have a shortcut. Well, they have now started an excavation of this very old canal in extreme South Baldwin County, connecting Oyster Bay with Little Lagoon. We'll talk to him about that and a whole lot more. Also, this hour, Brendan Kirby's going to join me, and we have so much to talk about here with this Green New Deal. Now, I think what's interesting, we're going to delve into this and talk about all the things that have been proposed here, and I've made so many notes here to myself, that this has as much to do with social issues and as much to do with forms of government as it does with climate change, global warming, whatever term you want to use. It is a manifesto and a document that is partially about environmental issues, but partially about using those environmental issues to further changes to government around the world, but specifically here in the United States. But I want to point this out, is the fact that this is something that is not a, because I heard it talked about earlier, I don't want anybody to mistake this. It is not a law. It is a resolution. Okay, it's a non-binding resolution. You've heard of these before, right? They even do them in Montgomery. I have a non-binding resolution. In other words, it's something that's not even going to happen in the short term, but they want everybody to vote on it so the people that want to campaign on the fact that they voted for something can say they're on the record for voting for it. At the same time, they want to put people in a corner that who might not want to be on the record to vote one way or another, put them in the corner for voting on it. It's a political talking point. It's to get votes on the record. That's what's happening. But it lays out an agenda that I think is beyond a stretch as a 10-year plan here. And it has not just questions about environmental policies, not just questions about fossil fuels. It delves into deeply the social constructs of our republic, and we'll get into that and talk about that with Brendan coming up. But one side note here, I'm looking through my notes I made before I headed down here. Let's say something, I guess, provocative to start off the hour, and I hear from you on the text line or on Twitter, or you could even call in. I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and President Donald Trump have something in common. You would say, how is that possible? They couldn't be more diametrically opposed, which I may argue on the political spectrum map, maybe that's not so true. But what they have in common, what they have so much in common, is an ability to get in the news cycle and to know what, and I think you have a wise version of that, a wizened version of that in President Trump. He knows how to manipulate media, make sure he gets attention from media. I think Ocasio-Cortez is just learning that, but has shown herself to be a quick study. You're not hearing stories, with the exception of maybe Nancy Pelosi, of Democrats that are not on board with this Green New Deal. No. You're hearing Ocasio-Cortez's name. And that is not without design. She is the spearhead for this. I mean, she has only been there for months. And think about the attention she gets. Why would you give that attention? That's somebody who has the least amount of political influence. The newest person in the scene. The new kid on the block in Washington. But she dominates because she says things that cause people to go, that's very different. Either if you're pro or con, it's still very different, and it drives the conversation. And in that, it reminds me of a candidate back in 2015 who said things that were very different than the other candidates in the Republican primary, and he happens to be now called President Donald Trump. Coming right back, Brendan Kirby joins us. A lot to do right here on Midday Mobile. We are live at the Mobile Boat Show. Come see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. And it is Midday Mobile, live for the Mobile Boat Show. Day number one, doors just opened. Folks are coming in here. It's a nice thing. I guess people taking a little lunch break or maybe taking Friday afternoon off. But they're here at the Mobile Boat Show. Would love to see you as well. Got some FM Talk 106.5 goodies like the new run of Huggers. We got the old, a few of the old run of Huggers, but the new run of Huggers out here as well. As we got some Mobile Weather and Marine Almanacs from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. We've got those hook you up with. Plus, plenty of goods. My buddy Mike Ward is here. He's got gear. I know we'll have tomorrow during the Guides Corner all kind of good stuff from our fishing guides like fishing tackle, swag, stickers, hats, all those good things. So make sure to stop by and see us maybe even more than once over the next 3 days. Also, I'd like to give you a heads up and a reminder, another great event happening at Cottage Hill Package. This one tonight is a little different than, you know, often they'll have do the tastings that start at 6 o'clock, and those are free events. Tonight is a ticketed event, but listen why it's a ticketed event. It is the limited seating, only 15 seats available for this. It's a limited seating and event that starts tonight at 7 for the ultra premium bourbon tasting dinner. They'll be pouring 1.25 ounce pours of the most premium bourbons on the market, including Old Rip Van Winkle 10 year, their Van Winkle Reserve 12 year Lot B, their George T. Stagg, the Elijah Craig 18 year, the Four Roses 130th anniversary. And before you do the tasting, you're going to get to have dinner, a delicious Cuban dinner. Of course, Ray, the patriarch of the Manis family there, is a fantastic chef, and you will love dinner. Following that, you'll have the tasting with the Old Rip Van Winkle, the Van Winkle Reserve, the George T. Stagg, all the great, great ultra-premium bourbons. Tickets are $150. You reserve your spot by getting on the phone and calling them at 660-0166, or you can go by the store at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, or you could probably go online and find a little more information on their Facebook page. Plus, with each ticket purchase for tonight's event, you're going to be entered into a raffle to win a bottle of Old Rip Van Winkle 10-year. All participants will also get some swag from these different bourbons, plus a Glencairn glass to take home. If you want more information, once again, call Nick at Cottage Hill Package there, because there's just a couple hours here to get this done before tonight's event, 660-0166. All right, I want to say hello, and y'all say hello at the same time, to Brendan Kirby from KirbyOnPolitics.com and also the author of Wicked Mobile. Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And I'm down here. I'm looking right now. I'm kind of, when I'm walking around the Mobile Boat Show, I'm trying to get some deep discounts on some of the power boats down here. Now, the kayak people aren't going to wiggle much, nor with the sailboats. But on power boats, I said, hey, I would like to see you cut this price by a lot. They say, why? I said, did you not see the new Green Deal? Did you not know that you're not going to, these engines are not going to be a thing soon, so you ought to sell it to me at a big, big, deep discount? You think that plan will work?
Yeah, absolutely, because then you're going to have to retrofit it to be solar powered, I guess.
Yeah, if they haven't gotten to that point yet. And what we're talking about, if you're just joining us, is the Green New Deal. Although, you know, it's going to be called the New Green Deal, but it's the Green New Deal that's been put out by the combination of think tanks. But figurehead, right, the hood ornament of this is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is making quite a splash being the new kid on the block.
Correct. Everyone has just decided, I guess, that this 20-something-year-old lawmaker with no previous experience in politics or public policy should be the leading face of the Democratic Party, I guess. But not only did she introduce this resolution, but she got it co-sponsored by Edward Markey, who is a senior Democrat in the House, one of the more respected Democrats in Congress. And he gave it his imprimatur and signed on as well.
Let's walk through, because, I mean, there's a lot to talk about here, and we can unpack this over the next, the next couple of segments here on the show. But the overall here is this 10-year plan, right? If we had to go to the slug line for this, it's the 10-year plan to be carbon neutral by 2030.
Right. And basically, this endeavor tries to solve two really big problems in one fell command and control swoop, and those problems being climate change and wage stagnation.
So right, because it's not just an environmental bill, it is a social bill.
Transition the U.S. economy from a carbon-based economy, fossil fuel-based economy, to one that's based on renewable fuels. And they want to achieve zero net carbon emissions in electrical generation within 10 years and rapidly transition away from the internal combustion engine to electric vehicles. And all while doing this, they also promise to guarantee a job for every American, provide economic security for those who are unable or unwilling to work, one of their FAQ documents states, and promote unionization, guarantee health care, guaranteed a family livable wage, guaranteed paid vacation. I mean, there's all sorts of goodies and benefits.
Hey, Brendan, help me with something for a second. Brendan, because I'll lose this if we go too far by past this. You know, you mentioned the unionization, but if it's the overall benevolent federal government socialist system, if it's them who's, why would there need to be a union? Why would there need to be unions in that system?
Why do you need a union if you can just get it from the federal government? I don't know. I mean,
just checking. I just
one
wondered.
Of the things that's missing from this plan, and to be fair, it's not actual legislation. This is just an overview, but they provide no indication for how even technically we'll be able to do it, because many experts just don't think we can do this. We don't have the technology. And two, how we would pay for it. And I don't know what the final price tag would be, but it would be
enormous. There's a three-card money game. If you read through, like you have and I have, through a couple of the different documents out, they kind of lay out the three-card money. It is, you know, where you take money that you're currently investing, and I'd like to know the actual numbers, that we're investing in researching fossil fuel technology, and I guess saying when they say we, that means the federal government, we the people, investing this money, and then use that money into to the alternative fuels and to make up this safety net for the people that will be displaced from the jobs currently that are, you know, based on fossil fuels.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers aren't going to work out.
Whatever we spend on
R&D for fossil fuels is not going to cover the bill for all this. I'll give you just one example. They call for upgrading and retrofitting every building in the United States to be clean energy efficient. And that would mean ripping out the HVAC system in every single home and business and government building and replacing it with an electrical heat pump, that is attached to a power plant that doesn't use any coal, or fossil fuel. Just give you an example of the scale we're talking about. We get about 63% of our electricity from fossil fuels. So it's a majority. And we get another 20% from nuclear, and they're not very keen on nuclear. They say that we won't close all the nuclear power plants immediately, but the goal is to phase them out as well and go to renewables. Well, you know, we get, everyone's in love with solar. We get 1.3% of our electricity from solar power sources. All renewables combined is only about 17%. The scale of what it would take to scale up in such a short amount of time to where we're getting it all from sources like wind and solar, geothermal, I guess, and maybe hydroelectric. I don't think we have the technological capacity to even do that and still use the same amount of electricity we use.
You know, and this is fraught with so many problems and so many tangents you can go on, because I could just pick one. You said, we can talk about hydroelectric, and people go, oh, look at hydroelectric. What a great way to produce the energy. But right now we're in a place in this country we realized we destroyed a lot of important habitats in this country by impounding a lot of rivers to make hydroelectric. So it has its own suite of environmental concerns. And if you're talking about a system where you're going to make more impoundments and all that, I don't know how that passes the test. And at the same time, you know, this ends up being a document like this, I think, does a big disservice. And I know there will be people who say, no, this is who believe, you know, in let's just take the environmental part of this, because I think there's a big, like you mentioned, a big government, a big change of the rules of our system, be it socialist or something else here in this. I'm sorry, they're rocking out right next door to us. There's a portion of this, a component of this that's political, but just on the environmental side, you know, if you look at a situation where you go, okay, now you've got to do this in 10 years, it's got to be carbon neutral in 10 years, and then you have a whole suite of people saying, this is the only way to do it. This is the only way to do it, you either this way or the highway, and that pushes people from the other side to say, the heck with all of you, we're not going to change a darn thing, where in reality, maybe some, you talked about 17% being renewables, well, maybe that's good. And maybe over the decades, we build that to 27% and 37%. I mean, I like the idea of an efficient renewable system, but we're not getting it done in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't have the, again, it's a technological question. It's not just a question of will. We do not yet have the battery and storage technology to be able to store the energy that, that solar power produces. So the way it works now is, you know, we have these big solar farms, and they put electricity onto the grid, and they can supplement, but, you know, what do you do when it's raining or when it's cloudy? It can't sustain it forever. Now, if you could just put it into the sun and soak up the sun and then store that energy somehow so that you can draw it on a reserve when it rains, you know, then maybe that'd be workable. But we don't have the capacity to do that. We don't know how to do it. And the government, you know, can pass a law mandating something, but if you don't have the technology to do it, you're not going to be able to meet it. And unless there are serious technological breakthroughs in a very short period of time, I don't see how this 10-year timeline is even doable, even on a theoretical basis.
Okay, but, you know, and one of the ways to look at this, and this is what I'm saying, a document like this, I think, forces everybody to go to their corners, you know, and rally up one side or another versus being in a kind of an open conversation where we can get the best. You have Ocasio-Cortez referring to, you know, the New Green Deal, or Green New Deal, being just like, of course, the New Deal from FDR. And oh, wow, you get a government program to make something happen. But I would say, why don't you look at the size of the smartphone that's in your pocket and the technology harnessed within and say, why couldn't we go that way and incentivize the free market to be able to solve some of these problems, maybe not in 10 years, but to be able to profit by having a greener system. We'll come right back. More with Brendan Kirby, and I'm live at the Mobile Boat Show. Come see us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile live from the Mobile Boat Show. We'll be here today, tomorrow, and Sunday. A couple things going on. First of all, the Guides Corner for all 3 days, and that's your chance to come by and visit with the best in inshore, freshwater guides, offshore guides, people from the kayak world, the hunting world. Got a lot of great folks. I mean, this afternoon, we'll have, you want to talk some inshore fishing. I know Captain Charlie Gray, among others, will be in here with Gray Gulf Charters. He's going to be in here starting a little bit, probably right after this show. And so he'll be in here if you want to kind of pick his brain on fishing around Dolphin Island, some of the things he's fishing for right now, maybe how he rigs his terminal tackle. Yeah, any kind of questions. It's a cool thing. You stop by and visit with these guides, and this goes on today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Plus, we'll talk more about your chance to enter into that raffle, the raffle for a fully guided fishing trip with Captain Bobby Apriscato, plus that custom fishing rod and a chock-a-block full tackle box. And what you do is you go to our website, our Facebook page, ateamfishing.com. There's a lot of places, but if you go to our social media, you'll find the links. It'll take you to the page. You'll see what's the prize package here, and then you'll have a link to donate. And when you do, it's going to click through from our sites and take you straight to mobilepd.org. That's where the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund is. You go on there, you make a donation to the Memorial Fund, and it gives you an email back. It gives you a response email with a number on it. That is your entry into the raffle. And we'll draw next month in March for this. So you go make a donation. You do the right thing and donate to the Officer Sean Tudor Memorial Fund to help out the family of slain Mobile Police Officer Sean Tudor. And you get entered, every time you do it, get entered into the raffle. We'll do the drawing. And like I said, you win a fully guided fishing trip for three with Captain Bobby Apriscato, the custom-built fishing rod, the tackle box, and all the goodies. More details, and we'll talk about it right here probably tomorrow at length during FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, where we have a special version of the show. Mike and I will do the show live from here at the Boat Show from 10 to noon. Usually we're on from 7 to 8. We'll do a two-hour live show from 10 to noon tomorrow. All right, get back in our conversation with my buddy Brendan Kirby, which, by the way, Brendan, if people have yet to get a copy of Wicked Mobile, maybe one for themselves, maybe to say send to some family that's, you know, some expatriates. They've left Mobile and they're living somewhere else. You want to remind them of home? That's a pretty good gift.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people say that they bought the book, you know, for, you know, a child or a father or uncle or something. They grew up here and, you know, wanted to read about the old story. But you can get it online at Arcadia Publishing directly. You can go to, you know, Barnes & Noble, you know, other booksellers online, and of course you can pick it up at a local bookstore as well. They sell the physical copy. They'll hand it right to you, Sean, right in the store.
Right, I like that. You can actually be reading it right away. That's the on-demand way to do it in the physical world. You actually just grab the book and start reading it. There's a lot more here to unpack. There's pages and pages and pages of this Green New Deal, and we can pick this apart, and I probably will over the next couple of weeks pick it apart, all these different parts of it. But you said something to me. We always say many things that are pretty interesting to me, but your angle on this got my attention about the Green New Deal and why the GOP should take the Green New Deal seriously. Because right now, you're kind of a voice in the wilderness, right? A lot of people on the conservative side are saying this is comedy. This is the best thing that ever happened to the GOP. You're saying take it seriously. Why?
Right, and the reason is, the first instinct for a conservative reading this is this is just such pie-in-the-sky fantasy. That this is unworkable, it could never happen. And, Speaker Pelosi is cool to the idea. Even if it somehow passed the House, it's not going anywhere in the Senate. You know, Trump would veto it. But big ideas like this don't just sail through Congress. They bubble up over a period of years and decades, and then they reach critical mass. And the analogy I use is, it wasn't that long ago that the idea that the federal government would co-opt a sixth of the U.S. economy and force you to buy health insurance whether you wanted it or not, that would have been ludicrous. You would have laughed at that idea, and then it became law. And, so it's best to treat these ideas as they come seriously and engage in debate and refute the arguments rather than just assume people are just going to reject it. Otherwise, Republicans in Congress might find themselves taking dozens and dozens of pointless votes to repeal the Green New Deal, like they have Obamacare over the past 10 years.
Now, y'all listen to that. I mean, because that's different than what you've heard from all the other shows, right? And I think it's well said. You look at if you take this seriously, if you don't take it seriously, exactly right. If I'd have told you, in 19, gosh, even 2000, right? If I'd have told you we'd be dealing with a somewhat federal system of health care, at least some parts of the command, if not the control of health care in this country, would be the province of federal dictate, you said you're crazy, and then look what happened. So you're right. I think that's well said. I do want to point out too, you mentioned it, I mentioned it, we'll double down on this because I'm just trying to make sure everybody's on the knows what we're talking about. This is while it is important and serious for conservatives to look at this and take it seriously, they do need to remember what we're talking about now is not a bill. I heard somebody say it was a law, it's a bill. It's a non-binding resolution, right? I mean, this is just some way to get people on record of how they vote, right? So they can use it as a campaign strategy.
Right. This is a way to lay down the marker and set the goals and the agenda of the left wing and the Democratic Party. And remarkably, you got to give credit where it's due. They've taken an idea that was a really fringy idea and turned it into a mainstream proposal that is endorsed by many of the Democrats running for president. So that in and of itself ought to be enough to make people take it seriously. But no, this is a 14-page resolution. It doesn't have any details and actual legislation. I mean, reading through it, I was trying to think, if they tried to turn this into legislation, what would it look like? It would make Obamacare's length probably seem like a comic book because they want to solve every problem with it. Income inequality, housing, security, economic security, livable wages, free health care, free benefits, security, wage parity for all the people who will lose their jobs under this point. Anyone working for the fossil fuel industry now, they promise you'll get a job that's just as good in the new green economy. How are they going to do all that?
No, and I think that's an important part of this. And earlier when we were talking the last segment, I said, let's talk about it in two parts because there's the environmental or the global warming component of this that I think bears out some discussion. And some, once again, I think if we can, through a free market system, lessen our footprint on the planet, I'm all for it. I'm a person that wants that. I want to leave a better planet than I started with. I want to have a clean air, clean water. All those things are very important to me. At the same time, interspersed with great, great regularity through what I at first was reading as some kind of environmental policy is exactly what you just said. It is a discussion of our system of government, political constructs, and command and control government. Is what I mean, that's what I'm reading.
I mean, it absolutely is. Because you cannot deliver on all those promises and guarantee that everyone is going to have a job and that they're going to have a job at a livable wage without a lot of government intervention. And I don't know where you come up with the money to do that. I mean,
Oh, come on, you know where they come up with it.
People can't find a job in the private sector, then the federal government is just going to come in and hire it. And this is why they modeled this after the New Deal. But you think that the New Deal created a lot of sort of make-work jobs for people because we were in a desperate situation. And we had a 25% unemployment rate. We didn't have the social safety net programs. People were starving. And Roosevelt came along and said, we're going to create all these ABC agencies and put people to work. So they did a lot of things like build the federal courthouse in Mobile and build the Hoover Dam. You know, they built the tunnel under the Mobile River. And then they did a lot of stuff that, you know, wasn't really necessary, but they needed to find something for people to do. Arguably, that was important to rescue, you know, the economy from total collapse. It seems incongruous in today's economy where we have close to full employment. Now, wages are an issue in some sectors, but there's not millions and millions of people that are desperately looking for work and can't find it. You know, and that I don't know what a New Deal would even look like. I guess everyone's going to go to work ripping out HVAC systems and installing solar panels. I mean, you know.
Well, okay, so I mean.
It just the amount of knowledge it would take to pull all the strings that would be necessary to even make it work is staggering.
Okay, look at this page by page here. And is it purposeful? Some of us might think so. If it just, maybe it's ham-fisted. But it lays out in this Green New Deal, to me, a system of, because exactly right, if we go back to the New Deal, you had a situation where you had the Depression, you had people did not have jobs. Two things. Pragmatically, you had people that would agree to these things because they needed jobs. You had politicians who would vote for these things because these politicians knew that that would serve their constituents in the short term. And idealistically, you had people that maybe had questioned during this very, very bad Depression, you know, was capitalism their best system? So I think it's a different world. But in this document here, it almost sets up a system of you tear down the economy, or at least key portions. We are, like it or not, truth is we are an oil-based economy. So if you go to dismantle the core of the oil-based economy, then you put the country in a recession, if not further, put people out of work, and then you sweep in to save everybody. You create a problem so you can implement your solution.
Yeah, and also, they act like the skills are completely transferable. So let's say you are a petroleum engineer, and you're making a lot of money, and your job is to figure out where in the ground the oil is. That's a specific kind of skill. It doesn't necessarily translate to, well, okay, we're not doing that anymore, but look, we're going to build solar panels, so we can just put you to work doing that. You know, I'm not sure if a petroleum engineer has the skill set to just come in and start designing solar panels. But yet they're promising, we're going to find a new job in the green economy for you, and we're going to promise wage parity. So you're not even going to have to take a pay cut to go do so. I mean, just that one small aspect seems like a pretty big problem as opposed to everything else. And then they just got almost pie-in-the-sky ideas. One problem is, what do you do about airplanes? Because as far as I know, there's no such thing as a solar-powered airplane or an airplane that operates on wind power. It's pretty hard to avoid, burning fossil fuels to fly. They solved that problem by promising to build high-speed rail all over the place that will be so ubiquitous that air travel won't be necessary.
Yeah, well, you know, and high-speed rail didn't exactly work out great for us the last time. I want to do this, and I heard y'all back in the studio. You'll hold on 1 second, because I want to get and we'll go to the break in just a second. But I want to have Brendan think about this, too, because this part of the Green New Deal says, the Green New Deal includes a major cut in federal spending on the military, including the Pentagon budget, as well as expenditures on war, nuclear weapons, which, because I guess we're getting rid of nuclear power, nuclear weapons and other military-related areas, which would free up from roughly $500 billion per year. So that's where they're getting some of the money as they do this. My question is, would we then, because we don't have fossil fuel burning vehicles of any sort, does that mean we don't have fossil fuel? And I made notes to myself at the margin here. Do we not have Humvees, tanks, aircrafts? Would our ships can't be nuclear anymore because we're going away from that. So would all those items be solar? So I want you to mull that over. We're going to go to the break, and we come back. I want to talk to you a little bit more about that and a couple other things. We're talking to Brendan Kirby. It's KirbyOnPolitics.com. He's the author of Wicked Mobile, joining us right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. We're live at the Boat Show, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, and we're live at the Mobile Boat Show, day one. Doors opened up earlier this hour, and y'all are here. It's been good. Few minutes after they opened the door, started getting a lot of folks coming through here. I guess, you know, it's pretty good if you're looking at the deals they have on the boats here. Yeah, kind of, strike while the fiberglass is still hot or something to that effect. It's also a great thing to do, just to come out and check out what's going on. I'm looking at accessories for boats, tons of stuff. Whether you're looking at electronics, you're looking at T-tops, you're looking at... listen, if it's an accessory for your boat, they have it, and obviously they also have those new boats for you. Plus, so many great events for the family going on here. You've got the kids' activities. Like, right across from where we're sitting is the Alabama Marine Resources, their touch tanks. The kids can come by and do all kinds of stuff. I'm looking right now. They have a falcon in there. Maybe we'll display some falconry in here. Also, the touch tanks with like flounder and different fish from the Gulf Coast. Kids can come up and see those and actually touch the fish. This is, how many times parents have we told the children, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. In this case, they can touch. So that's cool. Come by and do that. Plus, they have the fishing going on upstairs in the trout tank. You got the Fetch and Fish Dog Show going on and great activities throughout the weekend, just like our Guide's Corner that starts right when we conclude this show and goes through Sunday at close here at the Boat Show. The best fishing guides in the area here to talk with you today, tomorrow, and Sunday. All right, continue our conversation with Brendan Kirby, KirbyOnPolitics.com, also author of Wicked Mobile. And I just wanted to kind of separate this out, right, that there's a big part of this Green New Deal that could be called, oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble, the Red New Deal.
The what New Deal?
The Red New Deal. You know, like the color
red.
Maybe Red China. Yeah.
I heard someone else use that. I forget who said it, but...
I got beaten to the punch?
It was Clinton's former pollster and advisor said could better be called a Red New Deal, because it's something akin to maybe what they tried in Venezuela, to have the government solve all these big social and economic problems by just directing.
But in this case, we're inventing... This is what I think is interesting here. And once again, I know this is a non-binding resolution. I'm going to be... I hope to be a fair arbiter and not saying this is a bill that's about to be signed off on. But like you pointed out, this is also how the discussion of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare started. So with this, you look at a situation where socialism rises up in places. It will be from... Even if there's some desire to change a political system, you often have to have something, either a war or something like that, or serious economic strife to make that change, right? It can be sitting and brewing, but it doesn't bubble over until there's some kind of catalyst. This almost creates the catalyst so it can put in the agenda politically.
Yeah, and their catalyst they're hanging their hat on is climate change. And they're making the argument that this is a global emergency on the same order of a giant worldwide depression or a world war or something like that. That the climate is, the earth is heating, the atmosphere is heating, it's due to man-made causes, and if we don't stop using fossil fuels soon, it'll be too late and it's a crisis and emergency. So that's their argument. Of course, even if you accept that, the idea of implementing this kind of a program would be a tough go for the reason we talked about, lack of technology to do it. There will be lots of people pushing back against this if this ever became a real thing, and the money to pay for it. But even if we did all that, let's say in AOC fantasy land, we made this a reality. The law passed, and somehow we figured out actually how to do it, and we eliminated use of fossil fuels in 10 years. That still leaves three-quarters of the world's economy that still uses fossil fuels.
And less efficiently than we do.
We make up about a quarter of the carbon emissions worldwide. It seems to me, if the rest of the world doesn't change too, it's all for naught anyway, right?
Right, and they actually, if you want to break it down, developing economies and some others, they use the carbon, they use the fossil fuels less efficiently. And the frustration here is, you know, I think there's not just a third way, fourth way, fifth way. You can go down the list. I think these arguments get framed as either you're all in on the Green New Deal, or you're somebody who wants polluted rivers and companies to do whatever they want and throwing trash out a window and all those things. It gets framed in this overly simplistic view, and I would argue there are tenets and ideas in the Green New Deal that I'm a guy that will tell you right now, you can look at the numbers, and if you don't think the global mean temperature has gone up, you're wrong. It has. Now, there is the next part. Is this part of a natural cycle? Is this something that we're doing? I think those are discussions you can have. But this goes ahead and jumps to a conclusion I think that's way too far, which might run a lot of people, which I think there's a lot of people that are somewhere in between the two extremes on this. And I mean, I got to tell you, looking at this Green New Deal, this is extreme, and it's politically extreme. I mean, it's a mandate for socialism wrapped up in environmental policy.
Yeah, it's very extreme. Kimberly Strauss of the Wall Street Journal tweeted last night that this, you know, if you were to get a bunch of Republican strategist activists in a room together to come up with a fake document to pin on the left to make them look silly and out of touch, it would be hard for them to outdo what they actually came up with this. And look, if you... what is the best way to reduce carbon use? You mentioned, market-based forces. We just have a big old carbon tax and incentivize people to use, to use less of it. That'd be the simplest way to do it.
And all right, Brendan, we're gonna have to run. They're running the music in my ear.
Go ahead and bring. Doesn't emit emissions.
Okay, back in the studio. Bring the pot down. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, man. We'll talk next week. Coming right back. More live from the Mobile Boat Show.